May be seated. Many guys know that the Lord is here. Amen. That the Lord is here. When two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in our very midst. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for all of you coming this morning and deciding, you know what, I want to worship the Lord. And so today we kick off a brand new series entitled Hymns of Summer. How many guys love summertime? Yeah. Right? So what is one thing that is just your absolute favorite about summertime? Just go ahead and shout that out right quick. Yeah, I heard watermelon. I heard sunshine. I heard beaches. I heard all these wonderful things. I actually love the summertime. I love the heat. You might think I'm crazy, but I'd rather be hot than be cold. Amen. Because anyway, I have like some personal issues where my fingers freeze up during the winter. But anyway, I am thankful for summertime. I love the summertime. And during this particular summer, we want to just look at some of the hymns, some of those hymns of old. How many of you guys know that there is some great truth in some of these old hymns that we used to sing? They are like foundational to our Christian faith. And so we want to look at some of these hymns throughout the entire summer, the month of June and July. We will examine some of these hymns and just see how, first of all, they are biblical, that they align with the Word of God, because if it doesn't align with the Word, we don't want to be singing about it. But they are biblical, they align with the Word, and they ascribe praise and glory to our God. Amen. Amen. So this morning, as you may know, we are talking about the hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And what an awesome and incredible hymn this is. You know, this was written by a woman named Helen Howarth Lamell. And she was a gifted singer. She's even a vocal instructor at the Moody Institute for quite some time. She, over her course of life, she has written over 500 hymns and poems. That is incredible, right? And she died at the ripe old age of 97 years old. Now, imagine having that kind of legacy, living a long life. The Bible says if we honor our parents, that He will give us a long life. So she was honoring to her parents, but also in the fact that she wrote 500 hymns, 500 poems, just say, I'm going to ascribe to the Lord His due worth. I'm going to give unto God through poetry and through my writing. I'm going to use my giftings. And she, over 500 of them. How many guys have ever wrote 500 anything? Amen? No, not me either. I'm getting close to maybe 500 sermons, but it's, you know, anyway, just using her giftings, using her talents and being diligent in this. And she published this particular song, Turn Your Eyes to Jesus, in, let me get the year right, 1819. No, sorry, 1918. Had those numbers backwards. 1918. And so what was going on during that time? There was quite a few things, actually. So this in England, there were just a couple things just to kind of give you guys a little background. It was World War I was kind of concluding during that time. And so during that time, London was experiencing a great amount of bombing, and they lost an incredible amount of lives throughout that year. So you're facing war. You also had women who were fighting for their right to vote. And so you had this other conflict going on. You had police officers who were going on strike, 20,000 of them. So again, more conflict going on in this time. But probably one of the most things that we are most familiar with is the Spanish flu. This was also going on during this time. About 500 million people were infected with the flu, but only about 20 to 50 million people died, which is an incredible amount of people. 20 to 50 million people died from the Spanish flu. It was the most deadliest pandemic that has ever hit the face of the earth. And so there was a great loss, and there was great tragedy, and there was great heartbreak, and there was great conflict during this time. And so what a perfect song to sing in the middle of all this chaos, in the middle of everything that's going on. Turn your eyes to Jesus. Look full into His wonderful face. Don't look at everything around you. Don't look at the bombs going off. Don't look at the death count. Don't look at anything else, but look to Jesus. And if we look, if we come to the year 2020 and 2021, we kind of know what that's about, right? We know what going through hardship is about. And so it is that we are to turn our eyes to Jesus in the midst of these trying times. Anybody has ever experienced trying times in your life before? You know, anybody knows what it's like to not experience light in the midst of darkness? Do you feel like all there is darkness? You don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, as they say. The Bible would say that we should turn our eyes to Jesus. This particular song is interesting. It came from a track. Well, she was inspired by a track that a missionary gave to her. And on this track, it said, "So then, turn your eyes upon him, look full into his face, and you will find that the things of earth will acquire a strange new dimness." Now, this is encouraging to me because if you're passing out tracts and if you're evangelizing, sometimes you feel like, man, I'm not really making a difference. But this woman took this tract and was inspired to write a song which we are singing about today. And so you never know that seed that you sow, that word of encouragement that you give to someone else, you never know how that's going to affect them and how that might just revolutionize their life where they will affect many others. Amen. And so we're going to look at this song just kind of verse by verse and just kind of look at it and see what the Lord has for us this morning. I'm just going to read it first and then I'm going to go back and break it down. So the first part of this verse is, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Now, even though this is not scripture, it is scripturally based. Amen. It is. You can see the word of God all over this particular hymn. And we want to just kind of look at that this morning. So we know, as pastors, we know what it's like to be in a dark place, to be weary. Anybody have ever experienced weariness, even of late? You know, you just, it's hard to push forward. It's hard to go on. You don't see it letting up. You don't see the situation changing. You see maybe even things getting worse. I mean, even this past week, my wife kind of mentioned, you know, our vans were vandalized and all these different things, the air conditioner going out, and it was just piling up and piling up. We had, you know, others just kind of, just different things that happened. And anyway, and so all these things are piling up, and you don't see sometimes the light in the midst of darkness. All you see is darkness all around. Anybody can say amen to that? Anybody know what that's like? Amen? And so I'm thankful that the Bible is full of people, full of examples who experience weariness. But with every Bible story that we read about where it starts with weariness, it ends with God strengthening that individual. Amen. We look at David, for instance, in Psalms 6 through 7. It says, David says this, the man who is after God's own heart, the king of Israel, he says, "I am weary. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears." Anybody knows what it's like to cry yourself to sleep? Anybody knows what it's like to, you know, nobody sees your tears. You feel like you're all alone. But the heartache and the heartbreak is so real, you flood your bed with tears. "I drench my couch with weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes." Anybody has some enemies, some people who are against you, some foes, right? And so those things can be overwhelming. It can bring about great weariness. In fact, so many different things in this life can bring weariness to us. Perhaps a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job, you know, just financial difficulties, just things are not changing, situations not changing. It seems like prayers are not answered. And so it's hard to press on. It's hard to keep on persevering. And your soul begins to grow weary. Now, we mentioned before that we're made up of three parts. right? We're made up of spirit, soul, and body. And if your soul, your soul is like your emotions. Your soul is your personality, what makes you you, right? And your soul is your ability to reason, to logic, and to problem solve. And if your soul is wearied, then the rest of your body will be affected as well, right? You won't have the necessary energy to do what it takes to bring yourself out of that weariness. Your spirit might not feel like getting into the Word of God because your soul is wearied. But David does something which is incredible in the next verse. He rises up and he says, in verse 8, he says, "Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer." So David began to encourage himself in the fact that the Lord hears my prayer. And I want you to be encouraged this morning that the Lord hears your prayer. It may not feel like he answers, or it may not feel like he hears, but I want you to know that he hears and that he delights in the prayers of the righteous. He loves it when his children comes to him and begins to beckon him and ask for help. He loves that he delights in the prayers of the righteous. So he begins to turn things around. He's beginning with weariness. He's beginning with trouble. But then he's beginning to reflect and think about his God, about how his God hears his prayer. And so does the hymn. It begins to turn a little bit. He says, looking at the next part of the hymn, it says, "There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free." Meaning this, there's light whenever we begin to look at the Savior, when we begin to look at Jesus, not at the problem, not at so-and-so, not at this one or that one. Whenever we turn our eyes to Jesus, whenever we look at him, that's whenever we're going to experience light. If you're looking at the problem, you're not going to experience light. You're not going to see the light in the midst of darkness. But as you begin to look at the Savior, he is called Savior for a reason. He saves you not only from your sins, but he saves you from your troubles. He saves you from your anxiousness. He saves you from your fear, from your worry, and from all those things. He is your Savior. Turn your eyes to Jesus, your Savior. And it says, "A life more abundant and free." Now, how many of you guys know that there is no life that is more abundant than living for Jesus? Amen? I mean, you can try any other thing in this life, and you will find yourself empty. You will find yourself still scratching for the surface, because there is nothing or no one that can fill your life and sustain your life like Jesus. Abundant life is found in him and through him alone. Amen? We go to my dad's house, and he's always watching like these extreme sports, bungee jumping or cliff diving or something. It's all like Red Bull type sports, and these enthusiasts, they look for the next big rush, right? And so, man, they build up the whole entire show, and maybe they're going to barrel down the Niagara Falls or whatever it may be. And so the entire show, they're building and they're escalating, they survey and they're studying, seeing how they can get this next thrill, right? How can they have an abundant life? And so then what happens is they wind up doing that particular thing. They go down the waterfall, whatever it may be, and then they're looking for the next one because that was not satisfying enough. And I can attest to this. Whenever I went bungee jumping, it was awesome. It was incredible, right, to jump and just to fall at the mercy of this bungee cord. Hopefully it catches you, and hopefully it's not too long, where you just go splat. But, you put a lot of trust in this particular bungee cord, right? And it's awesome, and it's exhilarating. It's like, man, this is so awesome. But then after it's over, it's like, I got to do it again to experience that same thing, right? But with Jesus, we have abundant life. We don't have to go bungee jumping each and every day. We have abundant life that is alive on the inside of us in the morning, in the evening, at noontime. Throughout the day, we have this abundant life that we experience through Jesus. And that is what the hymn is pointing us to. Amen. So you don't have to go bungee jumping every day, to experience abundance of life. It's found in Jesus. Somebody said amen, because I guess they don't want to go bungee jumping, but I'm just picking with you. And so there's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. You know, you don't have to be bound by sin and sinful habits. The Bible says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and that sin has no more dominion over you as a Christian. It has no more say-so. It is not your master. Jesus is your master. Amen? So then we move on. The next part of him says, through death. So now we're going to begin to learn, how is this abundant life possible? How can we have abundant life, you know, in the lives that we live right now? It says, through death into life everlasting. He passed and we will follow him there. And that is the key. We have an abundant life because Jesus willingly laid down his life on the cross for you and I. He willingly endured the cross. He willingly was crucified. So that he was not only crucified, but he died. He buried. But then he rose again. Amen? He rose again. And it's because he rose again, we have resurrection life. We have an abundant life. In fact, he says this in Revelations 1, 17 and 18. Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and Hades. Death could not hold Jesus in the ground. Nothing could hold Jesus in the ground. And as I like how the hymn words it, he says that he passed through death. In other words, he was just passing through, like he's passing through the tunnel right over here. He's just passing through. He wasn't staying there. Death could not keep him in the grave. Nothing could keep him bound. He just passed through. And the hymn also says that we too will just follow right after him. And we will follow after him. In other words, this, that even if we die a natural death, that one day we're promised that we're going to rise with him. We're just passing through death. We're just passing through. We're following our master. And because of what he did, we will live as well. In fact, in John chapter 11, 25 and 26, it says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And so we're pointed to the fact that we have this abundant life because Jesus pass through death. Amen. Death could not keep him down. And because he rose from the grave, we also have this resurrection life. And look, we don't have to wait until we're resurrected with Jesus to experience this resurrecting life. We can experience it right now. You can have resurrecting life right now. You can have abundant life right now. And it will just carry over whenever you pass from this place to the next. You go from death unto life. You just carry on abundant life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we look, just look back at the last verse, 26. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? How many of you guys believe that this morning? That if you believe in him, you will never die. I mean, yes, you may die a physically death, but you will not die the second death. You will be with the Lord. Amen. You will see him face to face. Now, continuing in our hymn this morning, it says, over us, sin no more hath dominion. It no more has dominion over you. You are free from your sins. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are free from your sins. Amen. You may feel like it has dominion. You may feel like, man, it is beating you up and it is getting the best of you each and every time. But I want you to know, because of what Christ did, it does not have dominion over you. It does not. Jesus has dominion over you. Amen. And he said, it is finished. It is finished. He says, for more than conquerors we are. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's go to the second verse. It says, his word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. How many of you guys know that whenever we cannot trust in anything else, that we can trust in the words of our God? He is God and he does not lie. He cannot tell a lie. He only speaks the truth. In fact, the book of Revelations will say that he is the truth. Amen? That he cannot lie. How many guys are holding on to some promises, something that God's spoken to your life? Maybe you're believing for a loved one to be saved. Maybe you're believing for a breakthrough in some sort of way. You're holding on to that promise. I want you to know today, keep holding on, because God is a God who cannot lie. He is not like man. Man is subject to lying, but God does not lie. He is Whenever he says something, it will happen. Amen. And we can trust in his words. And we can hope with expectation in our lives. Believe him and all will be well. When we believe his promises, all will be well for our lives. Amen. We see this throughout the Bible. We see this with Abraham. As he believed God, it was well for Abraham. God had asked Abraham to do something incredibly hard, to sacrifice his only son. But he believed God. And as he was bringing up that knife to slay his son, that God provided a lamb. Because his promises are faithful. His word is true. You can believe the word of God. Amen. The hymn then begins to point, or switch gears a little bit, and really begins to look at our personal responsibilities. It says, then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. In other words, we're not just to hold on to this message. We're not just to hold it on to ourselves. We are to go out and to minister to those who are anxious, to minister to those who are worried, to minister to those who are troubled, to minister to those who are in darkness. And so this perfectly aligns with the Great Commission. We've shared the Great Commission. If you've been at this church any amount of time, you've heard the Great Commission. But just one more time, let's just read it in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Have we reached the end of the age yet? Not yet. So is he still with you? He is still with you. Is the commandment still valid? It's still valid. We are to go therefore, and we are to make disciples of all nations. Amen. So the hymn is pointing us, hey, look, you've been set free. And you know, sin has no more dominion over you. You've been set free. You're no longer living in darkness. Now go out and share this message. That way someone else can be set free as well. Someone else can experience the goodness of our God. And then we come to the most powerful part of this song, the chorus, where it says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, there's an unmatched peace whenever we begin to focus on Jesus. You know, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. And rightfully so. We see this in John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then in verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands. And so I like this analogy because we are like sheep. How many of you guys realize that we are easily frazzled? We are easily worried. We are easily troubled, just like sheep are easily troubled. But whenever the sheep realizes that the shepherd is standing right there, all of a sudden the sheep is comforted by the fact that the shepherd is right there. Amen? So there can be wolves roaming about the flock. There can be wolves on the outside of the flock wanting and seeking to devour, but it does not matter. They are not fearful as long as they know that their shepherd is right there. Their shepherd is standing watch, and their shepherd is jealous for them and is watching for them and is passionate about them and will not allow the wolves of this world to destroy them. When we look and turn our eyes to Jesus, we are comforted. Amen. Whatever the storm may be, whatever wolf may appear to be in your life, that we can have assurance, we can have rest, we can have peace, knowing that he is a good shepherd and he is there for us. Amen. John 16:33 says this, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When we look full at his wonderful face, we're going to realize that there is nothing that is bigger than Jesus. Nothing. He has overcome the world. He has overcome everything that has been trying to overcome you. He has already overcome. Look to Jesus. Turn your eyes to Jesus. You know, this hymn has an amazing analogy about light and darkness. At the beginning of this hymn, we're like in the midst of darkness, and we cannot see the light. You know, but with all the troubles that we are facing, with everything that is surrounding us. But then by the end of the hymn, we're looking at the face of Jesus. And he is the brightest thing in our lives. And because he is the brightest thing, everything else fades away. Everything else is dim. So I would encourage you to do this. Determine what you are focusing on by evaluating what is bigger in your life. What is bigger in your life? Are you focusing on Jesus? Is he the greatest thing in your life? If so, everything else is going to look so small in comparison. But if you're focusing on all your worries, and you're focusing on all your troubles, and you're focusing on everything else, then that is going to be the thing that is biggest in your life. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face. Now, we know that right now, we may not see his face physically. But we can turn our focus towards him. We can turn our affections towards him. We can realize that he is fully God, that he is fully divine, that he is 100% able to bring you through, to carry you through. He is 100% able. He is wanting us to fully surrender to his plan for your life. It may be that the trials that you're going through right now are a test. Just as it is a test with Job, it was a test with Job. It may be that the Lord is testing you. It may be. Will you trust that he is a good shepherd? Will you trust that he will bring you through? Will you trust that there is nothing greater? There is no one greater than Jesus. Turn your eyes upon him. Look full at his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know, one day we're going to see Jesus face to face. Face to face. In Revelations 22, 3 through 5, it says, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be upon their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light. And they will reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Let this be an encouragement to you this morning. That one day you might have some difficulties here on this earth right now, but it's not always going to be the case. You will be with the Lord. You will see him face to face. And wow, I just long for that moment. Amen. We're going to sing one more time. And I ask that you would just stand to your feet. That you would begin to examine your life and say, you know what? What have I been focusing on? Have I been focusing on the problem? Have I been focusing on the situation? Right now, I encourage you to focus on the Lord, to turn your attention, to turn your affection toward Jesus. Turn your eyes upon him and let him be the greatest thing that you see right now. We're going to sing this song again, and I just encourage you to surrender. Surrender to his perfect plan for your life. Surrender to the fact that he is God and that he is a good shepherd. We're turning our eyes to Jesus. So Lord, we choose, Lord, to do that this morning. And God, as we do, as we turn our eyes, we just know, Lord, that you will cause all those things of this earth just to grow so dim. We trust in you this morning, God. You are a good God. You are a good Father. You are a loving Father. And we thank you for your goodness, Lord, oh Lord, in this place.
come, Lord God, and set free, Lord God, those who need to be set free from the bondages, Lord, from those things, God, that have been so overwhelming in their lives, Lord. Bring freedom in their lives, Lord, as we behold you, as we look upon your face, Lord. Let those chains fall and hit the ground in the name of Jesus. Let sickness go down right now in the name of Jesus. Let bodies be healed in the name of Jesus as we turn our affection and our eyes toward Jesus. Come on, let's sing. Let's sing with all of your heart. Lift up your voices, church. Lift up your voices.
Look for His wonderful face in the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
This week, Lord, Monday morning, Lord, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, God, we will turn our eyes to you, Lord Jesus. You have the answers. Lord, there's such a peace, Lord God, whenever we focus in on you. So whatever this week may bring, God, whatever our past has brought, we choose to focus in on you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for just being here. Thank you for your presence. Lord, go before us. Go behind us and surround us, oh Lord. We pray, Lord, that we will just take this word and just apply it to our lives. Lord, that we would do as the hymn would instruct, and to go out, oh God, and to bring others this good news of salvation, that they too can have the peace, oh God, that surpasses all understanding, that they too will come to know a loving and faithful Savior, that they too will come to have abundant life, Lord Jesus. We just give you all the praise and all the glory, and let God's people say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hello, we love you guys, and we hope to see you all Wednesday at 6:30 for Bible study. And if not, hope to the streets this Saturday. Come and be a part. Amen. You guys have a good one.